Well, good morning. It's a great privilege for me to be here. My name is Tom Johnston. My wife and I live in Bemidji, and we heard about Aaron's plight or his shingles and asked if it would be helpful if I could preach the word. In the past, I've been preaching at Cornerstone and Thief, but have turned that over to Bruce Mitten, and he's been preaching more often there. Praise God for that. So let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his blessing and leading as we open his word. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the fact that Jesus did it all. All to him I owe a sin and left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. We pray that even through the opening of your book, your words, your holy and inspired words, that you would lead us to Calvary, that you would lead us to yourself, that you would draw us nigh unto you, that we would find mercy and grace, help in time of need. Thank you, God. You're gracious, kind, loving, and understanding. And Lord, you deal with us according to all the fruit of the Spirit, which includes gentleness, kindness, and patience. And we just thank you. You're so amazing. So Lord, bless us this morning, we pray, as we open your words. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you from Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. I'm going to invite everybody to stand, if you can, in honor of the reading of the word. Acts 3, 1 through 10. The title of this sermon is When God Answers Exceeding Abundantly. When God answers exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, begged for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God, pardon me, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Please be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. In our text, we find a perfect example of receiving that which was not requested. Consider the lame man asked for money, but he did not receive money. Rather, he received the ability to walk. In this interchange, God gave him over and above what he requested. Isn't that just like God? Paul wrote that God gives exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We heard it read by Nathan earlier. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In like manner, Solomon of old asked for wisdom. And not only did God give him wisdom, which he requested, more than any living man, but he gave him riches and honor more than any living man. In fact, I think if we figure it out properly, Solomon brought in Bill Gates' net worth every year in gold. Like, so we're talking like 600 tons of gold, massive amount of money. That were given to him. So this lame man, asking for a few pennies from passers-by, received exceeding abundantly more than that. He received the gift of walking. Consider the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We have a God who gives good gifts to those who ask of him. Now, Paul reminded us something very interesting, which is actually humbling, in Romans chapter 8. He uses the words, we do not know how to ask as we ought. Just stop right there. We don't even know what to ask for. Hard stop. We as human beings have a weakness of asking. We ask wrongly in many cases. Remember James in James 3 says, or 4, for our own pleasures. So, listen to Romans chapter 8, lest we get take this be too down, although it's necessary to be reasonable or understand clear with the Word of God. Likewise, Paul says in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. You have all that you need to live spiritual in Christ Jesus. In fact, you have more than what you need. You have Jesus. You have everything you need. Amen? And that Holy Spirit resides within you. So listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit, that same Spirit that's dwelling in you, helps us in our weaknesses, plural weaknesses. Not just one weakness, plurality of them. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The way I take that is, our human languages, English, French, German, Greek, Hebrew, whatever it is, our human languages are not good enough to get to our point of need. But the Holy Spirit, through his utterances and his groanings, which is the only way that Paul could describe it, is able to get to the exact point of pain and need that we have. Remember, in medical thoughts, my grandmother had asthma, but they called it emphysema because they didn't know back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, whenever she was diagnosed, the diagnosis hadn't come out yet. They're constantly coming up with new diagnoses, new medications, new names, new this, new that. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, who created heavens and earth. He knows every ailment we have. He knows every ailment the sin-sick soul has, and he can ask on our behalf. But the trick is, we're the ones that seem, from this text, that trigger the asking. We trigger the asking by asking wrongly. And then the Spirit kicks in, and he adds his groanings to our prayers. Amen? And he gives us exactly what we need. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Imagine the wonderful filter we have between us and God. Now, hopefully that pipeline is free from sin. Amen. No sin between us and God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. That pipeline is clear. Going up to God from us is free and clear of sin. But there's a filter there when we pray, and that filter is the Holy Spirit. And he takes what we pray, and he adds the power potency of language and knowledge that only God has. And he powerfully activates that prayer. So we get exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, because we get the request of the Holy Spirit on our behalf. Hallelujah, isn't that amazing? Wow. So although it's humbling to say we don't know how to pray as we ought, we need to be humble. We need to know his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. Amen. And this actually gives us peace as we go through the hardships of life, that we have a God who not only knows, but also interprets our prayers just the way he wants them, so that we have the requests exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, that does not mean that God is like a, in fact, it means on purpose, God is not like a genie in a bottle. Because we ask for the lake house on Lake of the Woods with the with the pontoon boat. And maybe why not the plane, right? The plane and also, a license to fly a plane, right? Why not? Let's ask. And God, the Holy Spirit, he knows. And he says, amen, I'm going to give you the soul of your neighbor, who's going to come to Christ because of your witness. How much better is that? And spend all of eternity in heaven. And not only that, but his entire family system is going to be changed. His entire family line from then on is going to be changed because the Holy Spirit's going to be in there. An amazing thing. So we, this morning, we're blessed to see the example of God who gives to the lame man far more than he asked or thought. God, I'm going to have 4 points quickly here. I used to teach six-hour classes. Did you know that? All day Saturday. I'm not going to do that right now. One, God is at work in the daily routines of life. God meets us at our most vulnerable place. Two, three, God is daily working miracles in our lives. And four, when God works a miracle in our life, he deserves all the glory. So let's begin with the routine of life. Looking at chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple in the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Notice the setting of the miracle was a regular routine of life. You might have certain routines, maybe going out on a tractor, getting 40 acres done, or whatever it is, or driving into work, using the same equipment and machinery you use constantly, getting on the lawnmower and just riding to your heart's content, whatever. In the regular routines of life, yes. In the case of Peter and John, they had the routine of going to the temple for the hour of prayer. The beggar did not ask to be brought to the place of prayer, but apparently he was brought there by somebody else. And just like every other day, he was just begging. He was begging at the temple routine, and Peter and John were routinely going and doing their spiritual discipline. We must notice that the apostles were following spiritual disciplines when this happened. When were they? Where did they went? They went to the temple in Jerusalem. Sure, the temple was built by the wicked and evil King Herod, but nonetheless, it was a temple of God. When they went, the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon, the same time Peter went up to the rooftop to pray it was the sixth hour, at noon, when he prayed and the men from Cornelius came. So this was a spiritual discipline for Peter. Remember, Paul says, pray at all times. How do we pray at all times if we're at work? We pray at all times because we routinely pray about all that's happening. We think about God. We have God think. God think all our lives. God think. God, what would you do? God, what do you think? God, help me in this. God, speak to me. God, guide me in this. always God think, but in this case, specific hours of prayer with other people, with God's people. Now, they were able to do the 6th hour or the 9th hour, whenever they did it. And why they went to intercede for God's favor and blessing. They were prioritizing heavenly things with their time. I hear about families that prioritize lake life over the church. And I wonder how that impacts their spiritual future in the lives of their children. We know people prioritize going to the Chiefs game when we're down in Kansas City. Wow, it starts at noon. We got to get there at 10:30 if we're going to get a good parking place. And then have a hot dog roast or something out in the parking place. Sometimes we have to, but you're here in church. I'm preaching to the choir, right? Thank you for being here. Thank you for making it a priority. It's an honorable priority. It's a good priority. As we spend time in prayer, we may ask for miracles in our lives, but sometimes God has greater ideas in mind. The beggar was placed in near the temple to beg. There was probably good foot traffic there. People actually cared about spiritual things. There might be a kind-hearted people there. I can even maybe guilt them into giving me some money. But the beggar did not expect he'd be walking and leaping and praising God. God answered exceeding abundantly above all his expectations. Let's look at exceeding abundantly just for a second. Can you imagine that Paul praying, Lord, I could do so much more for you if I were out of prison. In the marketplace, preaching the gospel like you sent me to do. Didn't you say you'd send me to prison and I'd actually preach in front of kings and rulers? Didn't you say that? What am I rotting in prison for? Does he complain in Ephesians at all that he's in prison? Look at Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6. And pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul, are you out of your mind? You're in prison. Who can you share the gospel with? You know who we share the gospel with? Us. He shared the gospel with us. Obviously, probably with the jailers and everybody else that was around him. But he doesn't bellyache. He doesn't complain about his temporal circumstances of being in prison. But rather, God answers exceeding abundantly. And guess what happens? Paul says to, by faith, God says to Paul, don't be discouraged, Paul. I plan to feed all my children in the history of the church through what you write on paper. So you could go preach to a couple hundred people in the marketplace in Ephesus, or you could feed millions of people in the entire history of the church over 2,000 years, God's word and the gospel word instead. And that's God answered Paul exceeding abundantly. Amen? He never bellyached about being in prison. I always wondered about that. That'd be my first complaint. Man, the food is terrible. In fact, I only get fed when people bring me food. And by the time I get it, it's rotten. It's rotten. It's no good. The bread is hard. The meat is cold. You know what the guards do when they get the good food before they get it to me? I've got mice, I've got varmint, I got insects beyond number here in the cell with me. But Paul wasn't complaining about that. He was asking for boldness in sharing the gospel. And you know who he shared it with? Us. Where do we get the gospel from? The Roman road. We get it from the book of Romans. Paul wrote that. God was answering him exceeding abundantly. So we see that God is not just a genie in a bottle giving us according to our superhuman low-level prayers. Now, there's some prayers that are important. Amen. I see my wife there. Oh, God, give me a godly woman as a wife. Give me a godly husband as a man, some of you young ladies might be saying. Boy, those are good prayers. Imagine how they're multiplied by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wow! There's things God knows we need, and we know how to ask. So, yes, we ask and God answers, but that doesn't change the daily routines of our life. The daily routines go on, and they're good. Dwell in the land, says Psalm 37, and cultivate faithfulness. Be faithful. Keep doing what you're doing and do it well. Unto the Lord, amen. Praise God for that. God meets us in our most vulnerable place. A certain lame man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Imagine, this guy had no muscle mass at all in his legs. He had never walked. His legs were totally atrophied. They couldn't be more atrophied because he had never walked his entire life. And it says later on, he's in his 40s. Right? That's what it says in chapter 4. This man was in his 40s. 40 years never walking. So literally, his bones are his legs. Wow. One of the greatest needs this beggar had, money was not the greatest one. That's what he was asking for, money. That's not your greatest need in physical eyes, right? His greatest need was healing. He got spiritual healing too, praise God. So that he did not have to pay people to carry him around, buy his food, take care of him. Imagine how much was siphoned off from what he made. There's probably a whole family system. There's probably a whole system of income off his, off whatever came into his bucket, right? His greatest need was to be free and walk and take care of himself. And yet that greatest need was not on his mind when he was begging. He had small eyes. He was thinking physically, humanly thinking. But the lame man had a loving and merciful Savior in heaven who knew his greater vulnerability. His greater vulnerability was his inability to walk. Likewise, we have a Savior in heaven who meets us at the point of our greatest vulnerability. We have a sin-sick soul. We are so proud that we don't even know it. We're filled with arrogance. We're just filled with sin. We don't even think we need God in many cases. Listen to Romans 5. But when we were still without strength, in due time, without strength, just like the lame man, couldn't walk. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, you and I. The world, humanity, that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were without strength, we were ignorant of our greatest need. Jesus died for us. What a Savior. You know, we're often ignorant of our greatest needs. We may not even recognize when God answers our prayers exceeding abundantly because we don't even know what to ask for. But he's answering them anyway because he's a good, a loving, a patient, and a kind God. Just like he wants us to be with the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? That's how he treats us. Husbands, you better treat your wives with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Kind. Good. Gentle. Patient. All of us need to treat one another. But most importantly, that's how God treats us. Hasn't he been patient with you and with me over and over and over again? Wow. He never runs out of patience. He never runs out of love. Isn't God good? So we don't see the big picture of what God's doing in this world. But God is still working exceeding abundantly in our lives, which means we trust in him. We have faith in him. We know he's answering prayer. We keep asking. He may not be answering exactly how we're asking, but that's okay. We keep asking because when we ask him, we're pulling the trigger that allows the Holy Spirit to amplify what we ask for and make it the prayer we should be asking. Isn't that amazing? So God meets us in our most vulnerable place. What is your most vulnerable place? What have you asked for? God will answer that. He will. He is so good. In fact, he'll ask above and beyond what you ask. He will answer above and beyond what you ask for, which is an amazing thing. So God meets us at our most vulnerable place as we're going through our daily routines. Thirdly, God is daily working miracles in our lives. I'm just going to quick read. I'm looking at Acts 3. I'm reading from the New King James, by the way, just if you wonder. Verse 3 through 6, 7. Who, that is the lame man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Instead of the glazed look at everybody, just the crowds going by, glazed look, Peter says, look at us. That doesn't happen very often, right? He could probably spend days there and no one would ask to look at him. Because he's always there. Look at us. So he looks. And Peter saw something about how he looked. But anyway, that's for another time. Expecting to receive something back from them, he gave them their attention. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Goes from a bone, the width of a bone. Now I might have big calves, I don't know. The Thompson side of my family had big calves. But look at this, right? That's a bit more than a bone, right? I've been walking a lot. And he received their strength. Praise God. And not only strength to walk, but to leap. Walking and leaping and praising God. So God is daily working miracles in our lives. Consider Peter and John were going through their daily routine. And we know that it was this life-changing experience was more than just a physical transformation. Why? Because he was praising God. So he took it as a gift. He wasn't praising Peter and John. Oh, thanks, guys. You're really cool. Thanks so much. That was really cool. I can walk now. He's praising God. He knows where it comes from. See, because God does not like his glory to be shared with any other, right? And so that would not be the case. So let's consider the hierarchy of miracles taught by Jesus. Okay? In Luke 5, we have a lame man in bed, quite similar. We have sins forgiven, and we have money given. So we have three kind of things. Is it easier, Jesus says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. The highest hierarchy of miracles is our sins being forgiven. It's way higher than Jesus saying, rise up and walk. But in order to show that Jesus had the greater power, he told him to rise up and walk. Why? So we human beings, looking on our earthly view, would say, wow, a miracle happened. Another guy who has never walked before, he gets up and walks too. It's amazing. So God's in the business of doing these kind of things. So the highest difficulty is forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of the conscience from dead works. Have you ever thought of that? Because of the sacrifices in the Old Covenant could cleanse the outside, according to Hebrews 9. But only the blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience. Your very conscience, the inner part of you, is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So there's no shame between you and God. When you lay down your head on the, you lay your head down on the pillow, there's no shame. Everything is free and clear between you and God. Hallelujah. He accepts you. He forgives you. He loves you. You love him back. Wow. That's the highest miracle there is. Next thing is the healing of the outer man. And the last thing is giving a few coins, putting a few coins in a pocket. So, the miracle of highest difficulty is the miracle that we need. We need our sins forgiven. We need to be spiritually understanding these things. The lame man wanted a few shekels, but he was given the ability to walk. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 8. What will it profit a soul if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We can have all the wealth of William Randolph Hearst, maybe back in the 50s. But if we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. Nothing at all. And one day, we'll stand before God and give an account. And the only question is, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? That's the only question. Did you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Or did you snub him and turn your nose at him? That's the only question that can be asked. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul and mind is the most important thing in life. Nothing else comes close. How is the health of your soul this morning? Have you allowed Satan to gain a foothold into your life through sin? Have you drifted from your habits of reading the Bible daily? Maybe you've never had that habit. It's a good habit to start if you haven't. How's your scripture memory? Memorizing. We need to keep working on that, right? All through life. I'm actually re-memorizing now. There's an app, a memory app, Bible memory app. I'm re-memorizing verses I learned in the King James, New American Standard, New King James. I'm trying to, because you can't have too many versions of one verse, right? It messes up the brain. At least mine does. It does. Have you told a lost soul about Jesus lately? Has Jesus been on your lips? Is he in your heart? Is he so important in your heart that he's on your lips? I hope he is. If I took a spiritual thermometer and dropped it in your heart, what would be the temperature of your soul? If we go back to our understanding of the Acts 3 miracle, we need to see that the book of Acts has an identical miracle in Acts 14. And here's what it says in Acts 14. I'm abbreviating this. Acts 14:9 says, "Then the man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing he had the faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet,' and he leapt up and walked." It was almost identical, a parallel a miracle there. So there's something that he saw in him. So the healing of the lame man, in the midst of evangelizing, Paul saw that he had a hearing of faith. I think the same thing happened in Acts 3 also, that when he looked intently in the eyes of the lame man, he saw somehow that he had the hearing of faith of the gospel. An amazing thing. I don't think it's out of context. Therefore, out of the context of regular evangelism, God brought healing to a lame man, not only physical healing, but spiritual healing. Consider that God used this miracle. God also used this miracle to take place through his disciples. God could have zapped that lame man from heaven by the temple. Oh, he's by my temple in Jerusalem. Zapped him and he would stood up and walk. But he didn't. He used the physical intermediary of Peter and John. Just like he wants to use us, your mouth, your eyes, your heart, your feet, your hands. He wants to use us as a physical intermediary in the spiritual eyes of others. Isn't that amazing? God is so amazing in what he does. He wants to use us to accomplish his open and or hidden miracles in and through us all, day by day by day. So God is daily working miracles in our lives. Lastly, when God works a miracle, he deserves all the glory. Verse 8, and I'm almost done here. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Do you guys know that song? Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Nope. No. that's it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. My wife is trying to teach me the... I think in French. I don't know what I'm thinking. Thinking weird. Okay. So God is working miracles, I think, daily in our lives. And in that case, he deserves all the glory. Consider the repetition of the term praising God. Isn't it odd the layman was not praising Peter and John at all? We don't get that. Rather, he's praising God, which is something we find all the way through the miracles of Jesus. He heals, in this case, a paralyzed man, and they're all giving glory to God. A dead man sits up in Luke chapter 7, and they all glorified God and said, a great prophet has arisen among us. They didn't even glorify Jesus. They glorified God. Isn't that amazing? In Luke 13, a woman with an infirmity, she's healed and she glorifies God. Luke 17, one blind man returns and he's healed. And I think that was a leper. And he's giving thanks to God. He's a Samaritan. And so on and so forth. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Over and over, when Jesus healed someone, when he raised the dead, healed the lame, blind and the lame, they turned and gave glory to God. Maybe, may that be the result in our lives. I fear that we might be too prideful, I'm speaking for myself, that we want some glory back on us. Or maybe we just think, that's just chance. Or, it's just a good medical system we have, good health care. We just have to remember, give God glory. We have to give God glory when he acts in our lives. In fact, 1 Corinthians reminds us, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So he deserves all the glory, and that's why we do it. How sweet it is to give glory to the glory of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who trusts in him, the man or the woman. How beautiful it is to praise the name of Jesus and always have it on our minds and in our hearts. Blessing the Lord at all times. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul will make his boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me, says King David. Magnify the Lord with me, says Tom Johnston. Magnify the Lord with me, says God, to you and I. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And so on. It's an amazing set of verses. So we dare not take the glory due to God and God alone, like we see in the Bible. In the case of the priest of Zeus, God literally healed that man I talked about before. And they wanted to offer sacrifices to Zeus and call Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes. They wanted to give glory to men in that case. And the apostle Paul and Barnabas and Paul tore their robes and ran out into the multitude saying, we are men of the same nature just as you are. They really did not want to take glory away from God. Oh, they knew what happened to Nadab and Abihu. Fire came down from heaven and and struck him, and he died in the presence of the Lord. So, Paul and Barnabas want to give glory to God himself because all glory belongs to him. Amen. When God works a miracle in our lives, he deserves all the glory. As Christians, we should expect that Jesus will, has, and will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why? Because it's a promise from God's holy, righteous, inerrant, unchanging word. It's a promise from his mouth. He meets us in our daily routines of life. He meets us in our most vulnerable places. He's daily working in our lives, whether we realize it or not, right? And when he works a miracle for us, he deserves all the glory. I would say if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, the promise of exceeding abundantly is not for you. It's only for those who are born again into the spiritual church of Jesus Christ. What have you done with Jesus? Won't you repent of your heart of pride and all your many sins? And when you do, all the promises are for you in Christ Jesus. All of them, amen? All of them are for us in him. Won't you right now, won't you just bow your heads and close your eyes as we close this time? Do you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of sin? Is there something right now that you need them ask forgiveness for? Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'll give you a prayer you can pray right now if you would like to. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and deserve the punishment of hell. Thank you for dying for me in my place. Please forgive me of my sin. Give me your righteousness. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, Pastor Aaron and I would like to know. Maybe you need to get baptized biblically. There's going to be five baptized this afternoon. If you've never been baptized after you came to faith in Christ, that's the definition of baptism after profession of faith. That's all we find in the New Testament. You can get baptized this afternoon. Amen, Aaron. Is it okay to fit one or two more people? Praise God. If you need to join a church, join this church. Join it. And the church is here to stir one another up to love and good works. So let's pray. And is there an invitation hymn? Okay, so why don't you come up, Nathan? Okay, Lord God, we thank you and praise you that your word never goes out void. Do whatever you would want to do in the hearts of those here listening. Thank you, God. You're so gracious and kind. Thank you that you treat us with goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, love, grace, mercy. All these things, we praise you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we pray. Amen. Come on up, Nathan. Thank you.